Okay, Rabbi, so we never did this before, but we're going to try doing a packed Megillah. A little bit on short notice. I wasn't planning on giving the shiar, but so many boys were mevakshei Torah. They wanted to hear the shiar, or they wanted to hear the food that comes along with the shiar. I'm not sure which one was the ikar and which was the tafel. Rabbi Saif, one goes down with the other. So we'll try to put something together. I'm pretty much just going to go through different ha'aris that came up in Megillas Esther. Some of them you probably know already, but even if you know them, hey, we all know Megillas Esther too, and we learn it every year. So, Vaisdais Chazar is not bad, and there's always a Chiddush every time you learn something. Eid Beis Medrash B'li Chiddush. Let me just start with one quick vart that I heard last week, an unbelievable vart that just brings a new perspective to Purim itself. And that is a Chassam Sofer that says that Zayin Adar, last week, Zayin Adar was supposed to be a big Yom Tov. You heard this, Benny, right? Zayin Adar was supposed to be a big Yom Tov. You know why? Because on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to depart from us, Moshe Rabbeinu told us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu today gave you guys a Lev Ladas. Rashi says it takes 40 years for a person to achieve an understanding of his Rebbe. And in the 40 years that the Klai Yisrael was in the Midbar, now, today, after 40 years, Klai Yisrael had Lev Ladas. Zog the Chassam Sofer, this was a greater Yom Tov than Matan Torah itself. And Matan Torah, we got the Torah, but we didn't understand it. It's like somebody giving you a shas, but you never learned it yet. Shkoyach, you know the names of the Masechtas. You got the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments. And then, somehow, there's tons of Torah. Kol HaTorah Kula is hinted in the Ten Commandments. But, you didn't understand all of it yet. After 40 years being in the desert, now we got the Torah. And Zayin Adar was going to be a Yom Tov of Simchas HaTorah to put Shavuos to shame. And what was going to happen? But we knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die. He said, Anoichi, Meiv Hashem Shana Anoichi, Hayayim, I'm dying, I'm saying goodbye to you. Oh, no big deal. What happens if somebody's supposed to be getting married and the father dies? You push the father away, and you continue the chasana. That's the halacha. Do you mind putting that down? I'm playing around with a gragger a little early. Okay, so anyway, so it's supposed to be a tremendous, tremendous Yom Tov, Matan Torah, and what happens is we were going to push off Moshe Rabbeinu's Levaya. And we were going to have a geshmak, a wonderful seven-day Yom Tov from the 7th of Adar. But it didn't work out that way. You know why? Because instead of us pushing away Moshe Rabbeinu's Kavura, HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe before we could, push him off. And when Moshe Rabbeinu was already Mikvar, Avelos is Chal by the Kavura. So Klai Yisrael had to sit in Avelos for 7 days. No, as soon as the 7 days of Avelos go by, the Yom Tov now kicks back in. What's 7 days after Zayin Adar? So Purim is a whole new level of Simchas HaTorah. Of Zman Matan Torah Zeinu. Be'etzem, Purim was like the Nidche of the 7 days of Avelos that Moshe Rabbeinu interrupted our Yom Tov, that we were going to have Leiv Ladas. What's the last halacha in Shulchan Aruch HaYirakayim? Anybody? Toiv Leiv Mishte Tamid. A good heart always is partying. Right? The first part of Shulchan Aruch, the first halacha, Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi, Tamid. When somebody starts his day with fear, when somebody starts his day with Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi, Tamid, you could end your Oyrachayim, you could end your life's journey with Toiv, Lev, Mishte, Tamid. Why does it say Lev with one base? Shouldn't it be Levavcha? Because the Toiv Lev, someone that lives B'Shvisi Hashem L'Negi Samid, instead of always having a battle of the two hearts, a battle of the two passions, a battle of his Ahavas Hashem, his Ahavas Yetzirah, by the time he's done with his journey, he's got Lev. He works in harmony. And therefore the Guf is Misameach on Purim. Not only is the Guf Misameach on Purim, but what's the simcha that we do in Purim? Adlo Yoda. The Mefarshim will talk about the Adlo Yoda of Purim. What a crazy, strange halacha to drink till your mind is mush. I know people start that way, you know. But your mind is mush. Your mind is your most valuable thing. How could a kid go and drink? People drink throughout the year. Never. One is long. I was in the wine store today, and there was a guy that was helping somebody. People were asking questions. And Mitamol, he told the person, I don't work here. So the person said, but you know everything. And you were behind the counter. He says, yeah, when somebody's a drunken alcoholic, they let him stand behind the counter. He was my dad. He was my dad. He wasn't embarrassed to say that. He's a drunk alcoholic. He knows every wine in the place. Well, come on, it's long. But what are we celebrating on Purim? Listen to this. Zog de Vilnagoyen. The entire Megillas Esther, he touches up a Derek Remes. And he says that the big Mishnah of Achashverosh, that 180-day Mishnah, the Mishnah of Achashverosh is the Yom HaDin, the great big party, not just of Achashverosh. HaMelech, the Toiv Lev, Ha? Melech, Miyoyen. Achashverosh, not Achashverosh, HaMelech. The Abishter is very happy on the seventh day. He says every single day represents 10 years of your life. And the 70 years of your life are over. It's the end of the day. And Toiv Lev HaMelech Miyoyen. The Abishter is very excited. On the Shama is coming back up to remind us of them. Takas Gizi HaKovay. Nu, what are you bringing me? Let's bring Vashti HaMalka. Vashti is your goof. And bring her with the crown that's on her head. Knock it from everything else. Let's forget about it. I just want to know one thing. Did the goof have Kisra Shel Torah? That's the first question we ask when you come upstairs in Shabbat. Fred Gabister, is Vashti, is the Bala goof coming with the Kisra Shel Torah? Like the Gemara says, if you learn Torah, it protects you from the Averis, it protects you. One thing's for sure, you might have done Averis, but if you're a Ben Torah, if you learn Torah, you're on a whole different pedestal. The Abishter is so excited, and he calls for the goof to come. The Keser, right, just with the Keser. That's the first question. Vashti was not a good goof. She wasn't a good goof. In every relationship with a husband and wife, the husband represents the Ruchnias, the wife represents the Gashmias, but they're supposed to work in harmony, where all of the wife's Gashmias is serving the husband's Ruchnias. That's a wife that listens to the husband. But Vashti refused to come, like the Gemara says. When it comes time for a tzaddik to die, it says it's like pulling a hair out of milk, smooth, easy. He doesn't mind. He knows he's going to a wonderful place. He knows he's going to a wonderful place. He doesn't mind. When it's actually come time to die, when we're supposed to prevent death, but when his mamash shas misa, I remember the Rosh Hashiva's last words. He said, what was it? I think he said, Nem, take me something. Take me. Listen there. They want to go. You want to stick around there with a goof, with Gashmith, with Yitzharus, with problems. The little train game. A Baruch Rasha who's attached to Ilam Hazeh. He's a Baal goof for the goof's sake. Not because the goof was serving, not because the physical was serving the Ruchnias, but the goof was on its own. Doesn't want to come. That's what it says a Rasha. A Fila B'Shas Misasai. It turns its oyer, it turns its back. He doesn't want the Shechita of the Malach HaMavetz. He doesn't want to die. He turns away. He's bound to this world. And it says to schlep him out of this world is like pulling a cashmere sweater through a thorn bush. Rip it out. It doesn't want to leave because it's attached to the goof. The neshama is attached to the goof. So Vashti didn't want to come because she's a Rasha. No, so Vazak the Satan. The Satan's in the Katrin. Malach HaMavetz, Yen, Mitzahara. All three, the same guy. The Satan says, Yimershalem, who's the Satan? Memuchan. Haman. Zad the Satan. No. We have to give Malchusa Lerusa. We have to give over the Neshama, the Malchus. We have to give it over to a different goof. Gilgulin. We have to give it to a different goof. This one didn't work out. Lerusa Tevin Menah. What was Esther? Vesmamar Mordechai. Esther Oisa. Esther represents listening to the husband, listening to the Neshama. A goof that listens to the Neshama. It provides help and assistance and works in harmony with the Neshama. Ah, that was Toiv, Mikola Nashim, Mikola Besulais. That's Esther. That's the Tzaddik's Neshama who is goof. His goof is now something great. That's why I say, on Purim, we're very goofy. Okay? We're celebrating the goof with a yud, goofy, with a yud at the end, because the yud represents the ruchnias that the goof serves on Purim. So when we dance on Purim and I say goofy, you'll know what I'm talking about. That's Purim. Purim, we celebrate the goof in an unbelievable way. A El Chayid, who spends a whole year, Shavis HaShem L'Negdi Samid, on Purim, He could tell his brain to turn off. And he has such a well-trained goof that without any brain telling it what to do, what does it do? Like the Gemara says, when they drink, we drink, the mind takes a little vacation, and what does a Yiddish goof do? He exchanges a nice word on the parasha by the Shabbos to a Suda. It exchanges different shiur of his shbachos, songs of praise. The goof, the brain is gone. Gone. Adelo yada. It is not telling the goof what to do. And the goof is already so well trained that the goof is doing the right things totally on its own. That's the Indian of drinking Adelo yada. It's a celebration of a goof that is serving its correct purpose. It came to its completion. And that's why it says, Toiv Lev Mishta Tamid, because it's one heart. Now it's fused, it became one. It's harmony with the neshama, so much so that even if the neshama takes a vacation and the brain turns off, the heart, the flesh heart that normally is full of taivas and yitzars and everything, Azai Yiddish Shabbati, is now the lave is one and the same. A lave that just wants what's in Hashem and wants to see the Shabbat to everybody. So this is the Indian of the whole Mishteh, the Simcha. We're feeding our goof on Purim. It's a ridiculous thing. Okay, so let's go. That's just a nice little background understanding what we're celebrating on Purim. We're celebrating a well-trained, unbelievably, instinctively good goof. So we're very goofy. Got it? Okay. So let's begin the Megillah itself. We'll skip the first piece. I'm not very well prepared. But so right away, Achashverosh turns to the seven advisors there next to him, right? The Chachamim will say, not us. So he turns to the seven advisors. And the Pasuk says, and those of you that learned the Gemara Megillah, the Akaroi they love, those that were next to him, right? All these advisors, Shiva Sari Paras, Zog the Gemara, all of the names of these advisors represent the avoid of the Beis Hamikdash and the Karbonis. Zog de Gemara, HaKaroi Ve'Lav, the Karbonis that are a love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Karjana, Karim B'nei Shana, one-year-old cows. Sheza, Shtei Torim, two bird Karbonis. Atmasa, Mizbeach Adama. Tarshish is the stone on the Choshen. Meres, mixing of the bloods. Marsana, mixing of the Karim Mincha. Memuchan is the Lechem upon him on the Shulchan. What's going on here? Right off the bat, you see from here, the unbelievable whole theme of the Megillah is behind the scenes, before the Megillah even started, these appointed officials who became politicians in Achashverosh's cabinet, I don't know, a year before, whenever it was, all of their names just happened to have been names that are all merumis to the Karbonis of Klal Yisrael. So that when he asks them, what should I do? All the malachim up in Shemayim were saying, look at these names. Are they bringing karbanos like Klal Yisrael did? Are they mixing the blood? Are they doing this? Are they doing this? And that killed Vashti, which was the first spark of good stuff happening for Klal Yisrael. Mitamol, you hear this? They're in the middle of the party, and already Vashti is killed. And what got that started? Zok the Hila Gevil Negoyim. What got it started that day, on day 7 of the party, is because it says it was the 7th day, and the 7th day was Shabbos, Klal Yisrael didn't show up. What was the sin of the Yidden over there? Shebashushan, they ate from the Sudas. Achashverosh. What were they eating when they ate from the Sudas? Achashverosh, it was kosher food. Terrence says it's something called Bishalakum. Pasakum. Who made the takana of Pasakum? Daniel. Daniel was a young person when he was taken to Nebuchadnezzar. He was a teenager. And he made a takana for Klal Yisrael. You know what the Yidden said? Oh, yeah, this young teenager is telling us what to do. We can't eat goyish bread. It's kosher. What's your problem? It's OUD. Yeah. What's your issue? You know? And he made this as a gzeirah that we should be separate from the goyim. As we go into the first period of galus that Klal Yisrael ever had, they were inexperienced in this. And he knew we're going to have 70 years of galus. Klal Yisrael is going to assimilate unless we create separations. Pazakum, Bishalakum. And they didn't listen. They went to the party. Kosher food. Not really kosher, Pasakum. Abuzak the Vilna Goyin. I think it was Vilna Goyin, maybe it's Chazam Sefer. On day 7. I think it's Chazam Sefer says this part. Chazam Sefer says on day 7 was Shabbos. Shabbos has a separate iser. There's an iser to Rabbanan not to be nehene mi melech Shabbos. If a melech of Shabbos was made for a yid, it's aser behana. Even if a guy did it for you, you're not allowed to benefit from it. So memela on Shabbos, they didn't show up to the feast. No, it had to be kosher food. It was for them. You think the whole party was kosher? It was for them. So the kosher food was for Klai Yisrael to eat. Memela was asr behana that they were makbid on. The importance, the chashivas, the hilikite of Shabbos got them to stay home. And that's what it says. They were taki eating and drinking at home. And they were saying divrei Torah divrei Shabbos. That little tiny step of tshuva. And now they're listening to a Rabbanan. They're listening to a rabbinic guidelines that the rabbis are telling us to keep away from food sometimes. That was a little bit of a tshuva for the fact that they were eating there in the first place. And that was the first spark that brought about Vashti's death. Okay? It's the chashivas of the rabbanans. Fine, I just wonder, I don't really have a clear pshat. What's pshat? All the karbonas are coming up. Like, it's just a funny thing. To kill Vashti, we have to be maramis to the karbonas. And what kind of schus in the karbonas? They're not even saying, like, mixing the blood on Mizbeach Adama, like that's something like we really did. Whoever built the Beis HaMikdash in the first place made the Mizbeach Adama. We have any shaykhs to that Mizbeach Adama once it's built for the past 400 years? There's the stone on the Chayshan. It's there. The Nesiim gave it. They donated it. End of story. It's okay. When the Kohen Gadol is wearing it, it serves as some kind of kapara. But that's some kind of thing that is meramis to a schus for Klai Yisrael. It's a pelet gezak. But okay. Let's go a bit weiter. So Yishu diayah b'shushana b'ra u'shmai Mordechai ben Yair ben Shemi ben Kish Yishmini. Four fathers. Not the four fathers. Four fathers in his lineage. Reg the Gemara. Why are we mentioning these four fathers? If you're coming to give us the Yichus, give the Yichus all the way back. Go keep on going all the way to Binyamin. Elamai, we're not going to all Yichus. We're just mentioning these four. Because each one of these four names played a role in who Mordechai was. Yeah, after this. I don't know why. Tzorchi and Gadol, you could give me a Purim Torah answer on Purim. I'll be very appreciated. And if I have any money on me, maybe I'll give it to you. Okay? Listen to this. When it says his Yichus over here in the Pasuk, it mentions four names in the Yichus. If you go all the way later, when Esther finally talks to Achashverosh, Esther tells Achashverosh, you know who's trying to kill my nation? Haman is trying to kill us. This is Perik Zayin Pasuk Vav. Zayin Vav. Vatoymer Esther. Ish. Tzavoyeh. This is the grand finale. Haman or Azeh. The Haman if as. Milfnei Melech. The Malka. He's taken aback. He's shocked. He's confused. He's horrified. On this pasuk, this seemingly innocent little pasuk, the Targum has about 50 lines. And it gives the entire Yichus of Mordechai. About 40 fathers. Not four fathers. 40. Literally, it goes through. I'm not going to read them all to you. But basically, Esther was telling Ahasuerus, this nudnik, this horrible guy, this mean fellow, he was the one that was trying to kill and get rid of Mordechai. Ben, the longest run-on sentence ever. She's telling Ahasuerus here, like, what are you giving the whole Yichus of Mordechai here? You want to give the Yichus of Mordechai? Issue the ayah. At least the Targum should stick it in then, if you're sticking in extra information. It's the strangest thing in the world. It mamish goes through bar. You want to hear some names? Bar Pesach, Bar Yerubal, Hananya, Elpal, Zavadya, Yoyer, Shmida, Ela, Mifi Boishes, Shaul, Avia, Bukhari. It keeps on going. All this. Back to Avram Avinu. Binyamin, Bar Yaakov, Bar Yitzchak, Bar Avram. And you, Haman, would try his start up with him. Yeah. Yeah, no, she said it. You say, once again, a woman started, she ain't stopping, you know? Chas v'shalom, snapshot. If you give me that Purim Torah, you're not getting my friend. Okay, but it's just a fellow's exact. The Gemara Taka says the four things, Ben Yair, maybe, it's my pshat, is maybe, because that's the point. This pasuk is not, I don't know why it's on that pasuk, but this pasuk is not coming for the Yichus. If the Targum on this pasuk would bring that as Yichus, then we wouldn't get the message that this pasuk really is trying to deliver. And that is, he was Ben Sheheir Esenayim Shal Yisrael B'Tfilazoy, and the Ben Sheshama Tfilazoy, and the Ben that was knocked on the Shai Rachanim. We wouldn't get that message of the pasuk if the Targum gives us the whole Yichus here. Because we'll think that we're just quoting a few names of the Yichus. And the Targum fills in all the rest. Okay, but that's weiter. Let's go weiter. There's one nation. There's no one who spoke so fluent in Lashon Hara as Haman. Right? You know the joke with the two ladies? You heard the Balas Tshuva? You know this lady, you know, just a year ago she didn't even know what Lashon Hara was. And now she's so frum, she speaks it fluently. Says that Haman was the best linguist in Lashon Hara. Why? And the Gemara goes through a few things. Klai souls, let's destroy them. Achashverosh says, I'm scared of their God. Yeshnoi, they're sleeping. Says, but there's rabbis. Am Echad, they're responsible for each other. Maybe there's one area, they're scattered. They're non-productive. They're always saying Shabbos Hayim, Pesach Hayim. They don't marry from us, they don't marry them. They're going to spill out your cup of wine. We all know that, right? Famous Gemara. There's something called Targum Sheni. On Megillas Esther, and I invite all of you guys to read this. But in the Targum Sheni, it lays on thick. You couldn't imagine better Lashon Hara on Klai Yisrael than anything before. He starts telling Achashverosh, you know what they do? They lay in shul on Shabbos and they make a Misha Beirach against the government. You know what they do? They go up onto the rooftops of Shavuos and they have all these fruits and vegetables and they throw them down to the ground, and when it smashes, they say, so shall be to the other nations of the world. And you know what they did? He goes on and on with the craziest stuff, and all of them adding a twist of anti-Persianism to it. That's what he does. Mamish twist. You see from here, Lamaisa, Goyim are able to do that. Goyim are able to take regular, simple, innocent minhagim that we have. Innocent minhagim. You'll have some guy, if you hold a turkey over your head, they can say, ooh, it's anti-Turkey. You know, you can have Iran. If somebody has some iron and he bends iron, ooh, they're trying to break Iran. Yeah. I don't know. They'll make up their own simonim to say that anything and everything that we're doing is against them. It's Noir Vahin that goes on for pages. Pages of Lashon Hara. Okay. Anyway. Vaitu. Okay, this is Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Gimel. So this is the decree of Haman. And all of the loot, all of the bounty, everything. We're going to get all their money. Beautiful. Connected the four things that Haman tried to get out of us, we have four mitzvahs of Purim. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, and the extension of yourself, which is your mammon, your money. Bechol me'oidecha, it's part of you. Your money, your assets, your property is part of you. It's like an extended part of you. Zog devil negayin, listen to this. Lahashmid means to get rid of shmad. Shmad means to get rid of the neshama of the yid. He wanted to get rid of neshama. Connected that, we have more neshama. What's neshima? Neshima is what you do with is the Torah, the Iker thing, and they created Mikra Megillah, a new piece of Torah for us to read on Purim. That's Keneged Lahashmid. Laharoig, he says, is Keneged the Ruach, to get rid of the Ruach of Klai Yisrael, to kill them out, and that is, the Ruach was Keneged the Ruach of Simcha. That's the mitzvah of Purim, to be Besimcha. Labeid, to destroy Klai Yisrael, that refers to their nefesh and their guf, and for that we have a mitzvah of mishteh, and it says l'shlalam l'vayis, to take all their money. That's connected our extension. And what do we do with our extensive assets on Purim? We give it away, matanas l'vayim. To each one of these decrees that he had against us, we respond with a mitzvah on Purim for our neshama, megillah, for our ruach, which is simcha, which is mishlach manis, for our guf, which is the mishteh, and also for our money, which is the mitzvah of matanois le'evyonim. Weiter. So Haman comes home after the whole parade, and he tells his wife what happened to him. Okay? The night, he just left them a few hours before. The night before, he's on the top of the world. He just went to Esther's party. He is second to the king. There's nothing like him in the world. And he walks out and sees Mordechai. Calls Zaynen Shavali. He's sick of it. They tell him, go to the king in the morning. And he asks him to hang Mordechai. Why not? But he jumps the gun, like we said, Kaifitz Barosh, right? Hadid Kaifitz Barosh. He's no patience. Haman has no patience. What does Haman do? He goes in the middle of the night. They told him, wait till the morning and go to Ahasuerus. He comes in the middle of the night. He's still suffering indigestion from the pie pizza because he lost his horse with the pink, you know, bunny rabbit slippers, right? Anyway, so he's not the Shazam Melech. He's awake. And he gets the Sefer HaZakeinus. All of this, the family didn't hear about this. It's not like he texted his family. Guys, change of plan. I'm parading Mordechai tomorrow morning instead. He goes straight to Mordechai, has this whole massive parade. That's why his daughter, Feshtetzach, thought that he's on the horse. Her last conversation with her father was, Tati's going to go and hang Mordechai. So obviously, Tati's on the horse. Mordechai's walking Tati, and Mordechai's walking to the gallows. You know, let me dump this on Mordechai right before he gets hanged. It makes perfect sense. Anyway, she jumps on the roof, the toilet's on his head. He comes into his wife, and he tells them everything that happened. Listen to this. He tells them, he told them what happened. Tables are turned, parade, I got toilet on my head, she died, I'm in trouble, he's on top, I'm on bottom, what should we do? And they tell him, Mizera Yehudim Mordechai, and you started falling, you're going to keep on falling. It's a done deal. You're never getting up. You're never getting up. Listen to this, Mordechai. I think this is the Vilna Goyim. Maybe it was from somebody else. What's the Lashon Asher Karahu? Anybody know what's Amalek famous for? What are we remembering about Amalek? Asher Karcha Baderech. He happened upon you incidentally for no good reason, without an objective, no target, for no reason. It just happened upon you, attack Lysol. That's Amalek. Instead of seeing Hashtaka Pratis hidden in the Megillah, it's all Mikra. Listen to this vart. I think it's from the Vilna Gaon. Listen to this vart. Zeresh, his wife, wasn't an Amalek. I don't know what she was. But she was smart. She said to him like this. I don't have. When you went into Ahasuerus and he told you to parade Mordechai, did you already ask him to hang Mordechai? And his response was no, parade him? Or you didn't even get a chance to ask him. And out of the blue, the mikra, he said, hey, parade Mordechai. If you mention Mordechai's name, that you want to kill him, and the king said, no, make a parade for him, that could be the end of it. And you could kill him later. The king owed him one. You were asking to kill him. Before you kill him, the king has to reward him. So you asked him to kill him. The king said, no, we gotta pay him something. So you go back tonight and ask him to kill him. No big deal. You'll rebound from this in no time. But if you're saying it was a mikra, you didn't even mention Mordechai's name. You walked in and suddenly the king says, go ahead and parade Mordechai through the streets. And you never even got to ask him about killing Mordechai. That was so incidental. And Zok Zeresh, there ain't no such thing. It's not a mikra. Then it must be Yad Hashem, and you are in trouble. And you're not getting up from it. You're going down and down and down. That's what it says. When he said, Eis Kol Asher Karo, when he said, you want to hear this most random thing in the world? I didn't even mention Mordechai's name. And B'mikra, the king says to go and parade him through the streets. He said, ooh, if it was B'mikra, there's no such thing as Mikra. This was Yad Hashem. You are down in the dumps. Let's go drop more. We'll have to stop. Okay. One more part. Okay, just stop. It happens to be the Megillah makes a big deal out of the new letter that was sent out that Klai Yisrael could go and defend themselves. And it tells you when and how they sent it, and they ran very quickly. And it says the date, the 23rd of Sivan. I don't know what significance the 23rd of Sivan has. But Kanira, we're making a big deal. They sent the new decree out on Chav Gimel Sivan. Wow! I don't know what it is. Chav Gimel Adar means a lot to us. Chav Gimel Adar was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan for the first time and took it down and put it up and took it down for 7 days to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Chav Gimel Adar is a big day. But Chav Gimel Sivan, you know what happened to Chav Gimel Sivan in Jewish history? Chav Gimel Sivan! In Jewish history, Yeravam ben Nevat put up an Avodah Zarah in his temple and stopped the Yidden from going to be Oleh Regel, and they went to his Beis HaMikdash instead. I don't know what Tashkaka Pratis is, these two dates. I have no idea. But Kanira the Megillah wants to stress this date for some reason. We'll end off with one last thing. I have to tell you a word from the Shiva. I've told this to you in the past. It says, Klai Yisrael at Torah. Simcha is Yamtif, Sasain is Brismila, Yikar is Tfilin. In fact, Rosh Hashiva, why don't you just say, Ayhudim Haisa Torah, Yamtif, Brismila, and Tfilin? Why do you have to come up with nicknames? And for the Rosh Hashiva, you think the Yidden gave in to Haman's decrees? You think they were scared to do Brismila because Haman said so? You think they ain't walking around with Tfilin because Haman said no? What are you, crazy? Klai Yisrael still kept all the mitzvahs. But the Torah was learned under stress. In darkness, in secrecy. And now it was Ayra. Torah got back its light. They practiced Yom Tov. They had to do Chil Yom Tov? They kept Yom Tov, but it wasn't a Simcha. It was like the Yidden in the Inquisition. They had to hide it. The Sasain, Bris Mila. Of course they had Bris Mila. But it was a stressful, anxious affair. And now it became a sasa, and they were able to do it openly. Vikar is tefillin also. Klaizo was scared of wearing the tefillin. It was a fearful thing. It was threatening them. And now Fakir had honored them. Those are the four things. One last thing. You have to hear this also from the Vilna Gaon. Klaizo was able to get back the nekama from the Gaon. What did they do? Makas cherev vehereg veavdan. A hitting of the sword. Death and loss of Avdon. What are these three things? Zog de Vilna Gaon. Ready for this? The Yazub Zaynem Kitzaynem. And they could do to their enemies what they wanted. What did they want? Use their face for like darts? Like, what did they want from their enemies? Let them do whatever they wanted. They didn't touch the money. Right? Klaizel didn't go for the money. And Rashi says, because Achashverosh was a cheap guy, and they knew if they take any money from him, he was like, oh, such a shame. Like, I could have had that money. Klaizel didn't touch the money. Some say they wanted to show that it was Lashma. They were just getting rid of their enemies because they were a threat to them. But this is not for the money. But anyway, they didn't touch the money. But it was Makas Cherev, Hereg, the Abdon, Zok, the Vilna Gaon. They took that dagger, that sword, that, what was it, trident. You know what they did? They didn't kill their enemies. They gave him a Makas Cherev. They hit him up. With the sword, with the trident, you know, poke him, slice him. Makas Cherev. Give him a bissel tzar. Let him kvetch and cry. So he sucked the grub. Hereg. Then they finally killed the enemy. The Abdon. And then they got rid of the bodies. They cremated them. They got rid of the bodies. There should be no zeicher from them. As he sucked the Vilna Gaon. Hear this? Okay, one last thing I just have to say. 10 sons of Ammon, I keep saying the last thing. 10 sons of Ammon, I must have drank already, right? 10 sons of Ammon were hanging. Didn't he have 208 sons? But right, he had 208 sons. What happened to the rest of them? So the Gemara says that 70 of them became paupers and they were going around knocking on doors, right? Sveim, Balechem, don't altik, we Sveim, Ela Shivim. People who used to be on the top of the world are now 70 that are Shivim, Balechem. 70 people who you now could hire out just for a slice of bread. So 70 of his kids. So now we got 80 of them. Okay? 70 of them are paupers. 10 of them are hanging. What about, we still got how much more? What's the math? We still got about, listen to the Targum Yenison on the Pasuk. Targum Yenison says, Zeresh Arkas, she escaped. When she saw the 10 sons, when she saw things didn't look good, she escaped. Now, we didn't know how many kids she had, actually. 208 is probably too much for one woman. Okay? So he probably had a bunch of wives, whatever. But how many did she have? So we know that the 10 were the greatest officials. They were government positions. They hanged. Because we had to make a public display.
Could they have moved from Zeresh?
What? Yeah, yeah. Those were Ikar Banim from his main wife, and they had all government positions. So to hang them was a statement. Don't start out with the Jews, even though they hanged without their heads, we know. But okay. But when Zerah saw things aren't looking good, she escaped before the Jews of Shushan were killing everybody out. She ran with her 70 sons. The Zeresh Arkas im Shaman Benin, the Ishtaru Lahaman. She ran away with 70 sons that were remaining from Ammon to Abu Hadrin Altarin Umisbanazin. And they became beggars knocking on people's doors for bread. The Shimshi, you know, Shimshi was a little bit of a star student of Haman's. Shimshi was one of the people that were in the instigation to stop the building of the base of Mikdash in the beginning of Achashverosh's name. Shimshi was the one that was reading the book of records and tried skipping and erasing Mordechai's name. Shimshi, you know, he had an active role in this whole story. Shimshi Safra, Shimshi, the one in charge of the books, Iskatel B'Saifa, he was killed by the sword, part of the Makkah of the 500 men in Shushan. So we got Shimshi taken care of. Ubmeya Utamania, and another 108. Misu im chamesh meya guvren this tidlub b'shushan. Another 108 got knocked out in the fighting in Shushan. So we got 180. We got 181 plus 70. We're up to 100. No, sorry. We're up to 108. Sorry, it's 108. 109 plus 70 is 179 plus the 10, 189. We're still missing 11 and 8. We're missing 19. So it's okay, guys. We've got to figure out what happened to the other 19. Shkoy for joining us. Yeah. Yeah.